Right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, September 29th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UC Wideout TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a nippy 55 degrees and raining here in upstate New York. So it's dark and gray and cold and just the type of morning you'd like to stay in bed. So where do we leave off? Yesterday, we titled the show 21st Century Cures, Monsanto, Bayer, Gates, Zuckerberg, and Playing God. And I would have to say that that pretty much put a handle on what we've been talking about over the last few days, last few months, last few years. It really, this has been a progression of this nightmare unfolding. And all of these evil plans have been now coming out in the headlines like they're normal. And like it's just A-okay, we found out that CRISPR has been licensed now to Monsanto, who is being potentially purchased by Bayer if the regulatory agencies approve. My prediction will be that they will approve because it seems like they don't care about antitrust anymore at all. You see these tech companies now growing with abandon, and nobody seems to be watching the store. They're pulling them all into the realm of aiding the government, whether it be the feds, of course, fighting terrorism online, whether it be the police force helping us to keep us safe away from, again, terrorists or somebody with a gun under their clothes. Let's put those terrorist scanners on the street. Not tell anyone, wink. Or in the airports, wink. Or in the sky, wink. Or in the light bulbs in the airport, wink. How many of these stories have we read? Or we are being scanned upside down and sideways, even through our clothes, with naked scanners. All in the name of keeping us safe. And they brought not only tech firms, but also agencies such as DARPA, organizations that traditionally were creating military hardware, now creating them for our police forces. People are getting shot left and right. It's almost on a daily basis now. We see somebody totally unarmed get their face blown off. And then they go, what? What? We thought it was a gun. He put his finger next to his nose and it looked like he was gonna throw something and I was afraid for my life. You know, guys, I'm gonna tell you what. As they ratchet this up, us against them, because that's what it is. It's us against them. Every single one of us over the last few years has had suspicion put on us now that we could potentially be terrorists. We're domestic terrorists, though. And I'll tell you what, the definition of domestic terrorist has expanded so greatly now that you even expressing your views for dislike for something that a public official has said makes you a potential danger because you can get pissed off. You can go pew, and snap. And, you know, that's happening more and more. But I'll tell you why that's happening. It's happening because they are not listening to the will of the people. They are pushing this in their own direction. This precision medicine is the next thing. Let's cue up the former Nazis at Bayer. I mean, guys, I couldn't believe when I read that story yesterday tracing Bayer back to IG Farben and IG Farben back to the Nazis. Honestly, this is going to be part of the conglomerate now that's going to be engineering food seeds and pesticides utilizing CRISPR technology, which happens to be the same technology that they can create gene drives with, where they could take a trait, rewrite it, and push it through an entire population. Population suppression or population elimination in regards to fertility with mosquitoes. But remember, good old Billy Gates has invested in all this technology. Guys, the only thing that is stopping Monsanto right now is an addendum in a contract. You can't use gene drives, Monsanto. But guys, evil scientists in the back room aren't stopped by contracts. All they got to do now is get a look under the covers and see kind of how it works. You get a geneticist that kind of understands the technology. And by giving them a licensing agreement, they have pretty much dropped their pants so they could see every bit of code. You know, okay, the document says you can't rewrite it. But again, I've known lots of very criminally intelligent people. You know, it's always about having that moral fortitude to stay on the right side of the line. But we've seen time and time again that a lot of the science and a lot of the fraud in science is being fueled by that dangling carrot of promise of fame and fortune and hubris. And it happens time and time again. And now we have all these rich tech billionaires that are giddy. They are totally wasted on hubris, and they have now claimed themselves gods. And that is about where we're at right now. And the federal government has sucked them all in to be their little helpers. We're going to find out Hillary Clinton is now going to be calling on schools and tech firms to interleave themselves even more than Obama has. So yesterday we found out about Bill Gates doubling down on his bet on gene drives with those Oxitec mosquitoes. We have Microsoft announced that in the next 10 years, they plan on solving cancer. And one of those ways was using little tiny DNA robots in your bloodstream to be able to go in, and when it detects something wrong, it can go and repair the cell and reprogram that so the cancer or whatever the illness happens to be will go away. Yeah, those little nanobot doctors, you guys laughed at me, but it wasn't a joke. I've been reading about them for a while. Found out then, Zuckerberg, good old Zuckerberg, launching ubiquitous internet all over the globe. Zuckerberg, let's turn on the AI and let's sell the back end. Being able to bag and tag, trace and track your every cat picture and cocktail as you give it all up to the machine, and they give your information to psychology departments at colleges across the country. You know, we read about that, right? That they had been utilizing Facebook to do all these social experiments. We even found out, I don't know if it was Facebook in particular, but social media in general, unformatted text around. We found out that for a very long time, Kurzweil and some of the other AI projects were utilizing unstructured text and reactions that, by the way, on Facebook, they have proven a couple times that there were experiments that they did to sway public opinion to see how fast it happened. And they won every time. Like, people are just so stupid. And I think that's what they have to keep proving to themselves. Like, how easy this is going to be to move the population toward their globalist takeover agenda that is in the process right now. And guys, I'm going to tell you, I came from an engineering background. I studied literature when I was in college. You know, I'm not one for a lot of fancy. I mean, I like to think up ideas, but I am a person that requires facts. And I tend to consider myself to be pretty well-read. Most of the time, you're not going to pull something over on me. You know, I got that bullshit meter on pretty high. So, well, you know, I've been bullshitted enough times because I'm gullible. But you know what? I got over that now. I'm pushing toward 50. Bullshit meter's broken. And well, no, the anti-bullshit meter's broken. The bullshit meter works now. But the problem is, there is so much insanity right now that people could tell you things, and even if you are paying attention, even if you were traditionally one of those people that were always on the ball, always knew when to raise an eyebrow and something sounded fishy, if you haven't been paying very close attention, if you have been involved in the daily world and sucked into the TV, even if you watch the news every night and then did a little bit of research online, even if you considered yourself savvy, I will guarantee you that I could probably tell you 10 stories right now that would make all the hair on the back of your neck stand up and give you the proof for it. Because the majority of the people have no clue how far this has gone. And we even found out Peter Thiel, he's another scary dude. Peter Thiel, big investor. And he's now considering injecting himself with the blood of young people because of all the research on that parabiosis. We found out that lots and lots and lots and lots of these tech billionaires are being driven not by the promise of power, not by the promise of being in bed with the feds and never doing anything wrong, not even to stand up in front of that federal court like Bill Gates did long time ago before he sold out, and go up in front of a Senate subcommittee hearing and answer for your crimes. No, you'll just be Loretta Lynch. She'll just butt pat you like she did to Hillary Clinton and Comey again yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it made me want to puke. And they'll just be given a pass because they're helping keep us safe. They're helping surveil. They are helping turn over messages. I saw Apple trending headline yesterday, iMessenger, which I don't have an Apple, so I don't know what the hell that is, but I'm assuming it's probably like Facebook Messenger or any of these other instant messaging applications. When you add a new contact to iMessenger, it has been exposed that iMessenger is handing that data to Apple, who is handing that data direct to law enforcement. Guys, they have all sold us out. But we got this dangling carrot. See, they've been messing around with those dopamine buttons. We talked about that, and I think I'm going to get there today. Beep, 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 beep. Everything that I've ever postulated, just from seeing my own experiments at home, utilizing my own flesh and blood, as the guinea pig, as you know, over the last 10 years of trying to be a parent here and figure this whole thing out. Remember, there's no manual. I discovered a long time ago that there was something wrong. Anytime we got on a device, whether it be a little handheld or an iPad or a notebook or a full-blown desktop or a television, there was the same very unsavory reaction. And my child turned into a creature that I didn't recognize. And it was very difficult to handle that creature after the fact. And it has come down to the point where we don't utilize computers. I've had to take that notebook that was for good behavior for Christmas one year to be utilized for school. I had to take it away. It's gone. I have had to ban my husband from sharing his whatever the Apple, I don't know, there's an Apple handheld device or whatever, and the iPad. He used to sneak those to her when I wasn't looking because I was such a bad mommy. What a bitch I was, because I was banning her from having this new cool technology that she could be learning from. And you know what? He gets it now. He gets it. There's this big study that came out, and it was a mother who told her story, and I believe it was a psychiatrist who wrote the story. I was 100% on as far as what it's doing to these kids and how it's really breaking their biochemical systems in their brains. Remember, you know, we've looked at so many technologies now, and now they're discovering even texting is changing the way our brainwaves work. They're finding that out with fMRI, and they're going, holy crap. You know, we had no idea 20 years you guys have been messing with this stuff. No idea that it would be affecting you negatively. And how many people have actually seen, and this is all over the world now, so they already are mutating us as a species. The people, instead of being social creatures like we saw back in the 80s, 70s, we'd be outside all day playing with our friends, running around till the streetlights came on. Now it's very rare you even see one kid outside. And not only do you not only not see one kid outside, but when you do see kids, they're all sitting together in the same room with their backs to each other, texting each other on their phones. Like, it's definitely affected us as a human species. Well, they're about to turn this up to high. The flames are cooking. It is boiling frog. We got all kinds of issues now, and we have tech billionaires and the federal government and the Department of Defense and rogue governments, Johnny and his mommy's garage, China and Russia, as well as who the hell knows what, because it's been democratized. We got all kinds of lunatics now playing God. And I think that's where we're going to kick it off today. You know, we look, talking about Georgie Church, we've mentioned him many times, Mr. Broad Institute, geneticist at Harvard, Mr. I'm going to clone the woolly mammoth, bring him back from the dead, and we're going to create a fully synthetic human genome, secret meeting, 150 scientists at Harvard, Georgie Church, yes, that one, who now, by the way, where did I just see that they included him? Oh, I don't quite remember. There was that new DOD board of all of those tech and genetics people, and there was someone from the Broad Institute on that Department of Defense board, but wasn't Georgie. It was one of his coworkers. But anyway, here's a story out of Extreme Technology, extremetech.com. We've talked about some of this new synthetic DNA that was announced back a few years ago. We played a video a few times on that, and we have... on every living creature on the planet, we have A, T, C, and G. Those are the four amino acids. They now have created two synthetic ones, X and Y. Again, like I said, it's not X and Y, like male and female. I think they named them that just to confuse people so people didn't freak out. And if they would have called them like Q and J, people would have gone, whoa, what's Q and J? But X and Y, yeah, we know what X and Y is. Well, no, X and Y is not male and female. X and Y in a genetic sequence are two new base pairs that they will be able to create exponentially larger permutations in the genetic code to create things such as, oh, drugs, new drugs. That was how they were selling it. Oh, yeah, all these great new drugs. But I was just seeing yesterday, I didn't pull that story, I saw it upstairs, that they found a way now to, using some of the synthetic stuff, to combine graphene and biological material. And I don't remember what the cells were, the biological cells, but it was some biological cell. But graphene is like a super, super strong material, this new nano, you know, they have all these nano materials that will be able to outdo anything we've ever had before. But graphene is a big one. Because it's what they're using now to build some of these 21st century electronics on a chip type stuff. And the fact that they were able to combine in now biological material, guys. You know, we've read a few stories now about this where it's looking like they're going to make biological storage. They're making biological computers and cells, right? This is some of the stuff that Microsoft is already talking about, little DNA nanobots. They have some synthetic and some biological material in them, and they can program them like little computers with a language to go inside of you with a Trojan horse, because your body won't recognize it, and go be like the little caretakers to be able to quote unquote cure you in someone else's image. Rich tech billionaire and federal government and precision medicine, electronic medical health records with little organic sensors to tell what your chemicals look like, whether or not you're within parameters. Remember, it's a whole little surveillance system. Whether or not you've ingested something that might happen to be illegal, beep, 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 exterminates. I mean, that's all I think about. Because once they get to that level of control, that level of invasiveness, don't think that it wouldn't be just one push of a button. And maybe we could even automate that, like these automated killing drones. You know, you have a set of parameters. You cross this line, A, B, C, D, and E. Pachoop! It is automatic extermination. And you know what? We are creating this whole new world here. This new humanity in Earth 2.0. We're going to the stars. We're going to talk about that. Because that's the only way humanity is going to survive. And so we're setting the rules right now at a biological level. No smoking causes genetic damage, your bad breeding stock. No stress causes genetic damage. bad breeding stock. Hey, robots are going to take all the jobs. We'll give you universal basic income so you won't even have to be stressed anymore. You could just sit there and take your happy soma pills. You could read and philosophize and come up with great, better ways to do things. Push the little button with your little desktop nano manufacturing unit. 3D printed nutraceuticals in the walls made from synthetic based proteins to whatever you want. Could be clothing. I just saw there's robots making cloth. Could make food out of recombinant cricket protein. I don't know. I mean, the future is just beyond science fiction. The future that people don't realize is really in front of us is dire, because they will have control of you, because you are ignoring this right now, because you're stepping right up and embracing this lie of technology making your life better and brighter and making you smarter as they augment your brain again with little nanobots connectivity to this cloud Borg internet that they are planning for the future. You think that you're going to live forever, which of course is that dangling carrot goal for these rich guys. But it's going to enslave you forever and ever, generations down the line. First living thing with alien DNA created in the lab. And if you remember, they were messing around with this at Craig Venter Institute. They got it to reproduce, guys. That's the danger zone right there. So I know we're talking about CRISPR right now, and CRISPR allows us to splice and dice DNA. But 2 years previous to now, I think CRISPR, they said 2012, and then 2013, it really started to be commercialized and play within the lab. Well, this was 2014. We are now officially playing God. Scientists have succeeded in creating the first organism with alien DNA, quote unquote alien. It's because X and Y in the genome don't exist. These are synthetic amino acids. And in normal DNA, which can be found within the genes of every single organism, the twin strands of the double helix are bonded together with four bases known as C, A, T, and G. In this new organism, though, researchers have added two new bases called X and Y. And I don't know if they tell you, but those are synthetic. Creating a new form of DNA that, as far as we know, has never, ever occurred in the billions of years of evolution on Earth or elsewhere in anywhere in the universe. Now, don't you feel special? Don't you feel special that they are messing with this on planet Earth and they're mixing it up in a lab and there's really no security as far as like bio-level hazard 4 that we've looked at in any of this genetic engineering stuff? We are talking two brand new proteins that don't exist anywhere in nature that we've just whipped up in a lab, and now we can integrate them into the building blocks of life. Remarkably, the semi-synthetic alien organism continued to reproduce normally, preserving this new alien DNA during reproduction. Guys, I thought when we were looking at CRISPRing embryos, that was something that they had kind of banned, is you can CRISPR an embryo, but you cannot CRISPR a trait that could potentially be passed down to future generations so we don't have a horrible accident. Well, didn't they just say that this could be passed down? It could reproduce. This is beyond danger zone. And I want to know who owns this X and Y. I'd be very interested to see that. Who patented this new X and Y synthetic base pair? Remarkably, this semi-synthetic alien organism continued to reproduce normally, preserving the new DNA during reproduction. And in this future, this breakthrough should allow for the creation of highly customized organisms. Now, if you remember the DARPA lady, when she was talking about us wanting to terraform Mars, yes, it was Mars. We're going to talk about Mars some more. Mars seems to be figuring very prominently in this picture. They want to get off this rock. I told you that. They screwed it up bad here, and now they're getting the bailout plan. After shit goes bad, They're putting the pedal to the metal. We just got funding, actually, from Congress, no less. But that DARPA lady had talked about her hope in the future was to get all the DNA database, which we've done that. Living creatures across the planet, we've databased it all. We got 23andMe, getting this million people, too, into this big database that they got funded by the National Institute of Health. They got their life sciences division that's now, of course, going to develop drugs based on these DNA databases. But we also have these DNA databases that are available to anyone who wants to pay a licensing fee, $29.95 a month. I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying? The software as a service. I knew this was going to happen. This is the way it works in software development. It's all about the database. We've been doing databases for 20 years here. It's all about the database. You get it in a database, you can splice and dice it anyway till Tuesday and display it in any way you want. Everything's organized, and it's easy to take apart and be able to run analytics or whatever you want to do. The database is the key. They're calling it big data now, but it's the database in the back end. So as they have these tech companies now getting all this data on their back end and all these humans, and we have insects and we have plants and we have everything else, we got DARPA talking about colonizing Mars, being able to terraform it first and be able to push a button and create life on demand, is what she said. Life on demand. Well, let's find out. As it sounds to me, they're talking about the same thing here. In the future, this breakthrough should allow the creation of highly customized organisms. Bacterial, animal, and humans. Ding! That behave in weird and wonderful ways that the mundane 4-base DNA would never allow. Don't you feel special to be alive right now? I mean, we literally are standing at the precipice of seeing the end of billions of years of evolution that has been self-directed. And I mean, I don't know, people can talk about genetic engineering back in our ancient history. I think it's possible. I've seen a few things that has made me raise an eyebrow. You know, that missing link. They think they found that missing link. I don't know if I want to go down here, but just as a side note, they think they found that missing link a while ago, a couple years back. And they said that the one weird thing is that we have this gene. There's this gene when they look at ancient Homo, maybe, I don't know if we're erectus, whatever we are, and then the Homo whatever right before us. And when they compare the genetic material between the two, they find out that there's a gene that changed. And it almost like it fused, which does not happen in nature the way it exists in us now. And scientists were kind of scratching their heads going, the only way that really could have happened is if we did some sort of genetic engineering to be able to do this genetic fusing, kind of like we're doing now with these three parent babies. There was a story about that. The first one has been born. You know, they're trying to push it like, oh, it's okay. Remember in vitro fertilization? Everyone freaked out when we were going to mix a sperm and an egg in a petri dish. And you guys said it would be like a monster in nature. And look, it was 20, 30 years ago and everything turned out fine. They didn't get labeled down their neck with a barcode. And they're not programmed robots. So now we got this new baby. First baby ever. First human ever. Potentially, at least with the lights on, not down the dark hallway, has been born with three. Count them, one, two, three, not two, like the rest of the planet, but three people's DNA. First three-person baby born using new method. And we talked about this. They had approved it in the UK. Then they shortly thereafter approved it in the U.S., but I haven't seen a baby born yet here. They're still tinkering with it in the lab, I'm sure. I'm sure they're tinkering with it in China. I know that those three countries, us, the U.K., and China, all have projects for CRISPR in humans as well. But remember, the CRISPR in humans had the stipulation, at least for us in the U.K., that we could not pass down the CRISPR traits, and they had to be snuffed out in the petri dish After only so many days of development, they could not be brought to term. But this three-person DNA was approved. The world's first baby has been born using a new three-person fertility technique. This five-month-old boy has the unusual DNA from his mom and dad, plus a tiny bit of genetic code from a donor. U.S. doctors, and that's what I thought was weird about this. This is out of BBC. I assumed it was in England, but it appears to me, I think the woman was like Pakistani or something, and the doctor was out of one of the New York City hospitals. This five-month-old boy has unusual DNA from his mom and dad, plus a tiny bit of genetic code from a donor, and U.S. doctors took the unprecedented step to ensure that this baby boy would be free of a genetic condition that his Jordanian mother carries in her genes. So she was Jordanian. Experts say the move heralds a new era in medicine that could help other families with rare genetic conditions. But they warn that rigorous checks of this new and controversial technology called mitochondrial donation are needed. Yeah. This is real-time Petri dish experimentation with your children. Guys, we read about the history. The history of these monsters, all in the name of science. We found out that science is not working necessarily in your best interest right now. We have the scientific technocracy that is dropping upon us, all in the name of curing your cancer, living forever, and keeping you safe. Yet we've discovered that the FDA is not watching the store, and they are actually the fox in the hen house. They are allowing research to be published that has not been proven to be true or has been proven to be fraudulent. They are not redacting things, and it's all about the lust for power, money, and discovery at your expense. We were sold to the pharmaceutical companies. Remember that. Obama sold us as part of precision medicine. That R&D line item budget is gone. This 21st Century Cures Act that Senate is supposed to vote on by the end of this month. We should check on that. That will get the FDA out of the way of these quote-unquote life-saving cures and allow it to go direct from the laboratory to the consumer. And if things turn out okay, you know, I don't know, you're a little desperate there, Johnny. You got about 2 months to live, but hey, look, I got this clinical trial that, you know, there's a 1% chance that you might survive it. And if you did, Johnny, you would be world famous. You'd make bazillions of dollars. You would live to be a ripe old age of 120. Step right up, Johnny. If it all works out, we will write a case study about you. And that's how they're spinning this. This is how this new 21st century medicine is going to work, just like the tech companies do when they're trying to push a new technology into a marketplace. They give it away, and when it's successful, they write a case study, and then they take their big glossy case study, give it to all their salespeople, and push them out into the field to go sell it. This is not the first time that scientists have created babies that have DNA from three people, because that breakthrough began in the late 1990s. But this is an entirely new and significant method. Mitochondria are tiny structures inside nearly every cell of the body that convert food into usable energy. And you know, they've been spending a lot of time studying mitochondria. I've seen them pop up a lot, as that's the focus of what they are researching. And what worries me is exactly what they said. It is in almost every cell in our body, and it is the material that converts our food into energy. You know, think about it for a minute. These are all double-edged swords, these technologies that they're discovering. And if they happen to find a way to turn off mitochondria, you know, we're finding ways to fix it and whatever. But hey, in the means of fixing it, you're also going to figure out ways to turn it on and turn it off, flip a switch. And if they're planning on having these little DNA nanobot doctors in our bodies to be able to go do things programmed We even found with that cockroach back a few weeks ago, it was a cockroach that had these little nanobot things in it, and the researcher was able to use his own mind to think. I mean, literally think about releasing drugs in the cockroach with those little DNA nanobots that are inside of it, and it released the drugs. So, I mean, not much of a stretch of the imagination for at some point in the future to have like some sort of human kill switch. You know, just like we're talking about having an AI that I don't know. They said Google was on top of that. Well, yeah, like I trust Google as far as I could throw them to be building the kill switch for AI in Atlas. But think of the human kill switch. They could program these little DNA nanobots that, you know, when a certain set of instructions happens, ding, 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 you've done these three things. Like I said, you've consumed illicit substances that are not allowed in the future. And it's your third strike, Johnny. We are just going to send out those little nanobots to go turn off your mitochondria. All of a sudden now, you can eat all you want, but you're not going to be getting any food, and you're going to be starving to death because you won't be processing that food into energy for the cells to survive. I don't know, guys. I see bad, bad, bad things with this technology. And even though there's lots of promise, and I mean, I have my dad and my husband arguing, well, you know, if that were it and that were the last cure, wouldn't you step right up? Well, maybe. I've said that before. It's going to be a very difficult question that apparently, since all this technology is already on the plate out there, every single one of us are going to have to deal with at some point, maybe with ourselves, that sad day when we got our last couple breaths, or with a loved one, whether or not we're going to offer them up to be one of these guinea pigs in a petri dish with that one ditch last effort hope that maybe, just maybe, it would be able to save them. I mean, there's going to have to be some real soul searching there. I mean, I would almost think that any of us in the position of desperation, just like the drowning man, you go out to save that drowning man. Even if you're that drowning man's best friend, that drowning man doesn't see you as his best friend. That drowning man sees you as the one way to stop from drowning. It's called self-preservation. And they will latch onto you. They will get you by the hair. They will climb on your shoulders, pushing you underwater, taking liquid into your lungs just for that last-ditch effort to survive, guys. That is nothing personal. That is something that is built into our species. And so, as we are taking our last breaths, and they sit there with a dangling golden diamond-encrusted carrot that they're dangling at the end of your hospital bed as you're bleary-eyed and tired, and they're going to offer you eternal life. And I don't know, guys, I am not a religious fruitcake in any sense of the imagination. I think too much. But I hate to tell you, I studied a lot of the stuff in college as part of getting my English degree. I looked at creation and destruction myths from all over the world and studied very deeply into some of the religious texts. And I'm going to tell you that though they used to tell us that it was all allegory and these were all just fantasy stories that they were talking about here, and none of it was really real. I almost, if you take all those stories and just kind of turn them 4 or 5 degrees to the left, you start looking at some of the explanations of the 7 deadly sins and selling out humanity and the evil coming to take over and usurp the kingdom. Guys, all I'm going to say is I am starting to see lots and lots and lots of parallels. It's all seeming a little bit familiar to me. Like, wow, didn't I read this somewhere before? Like, didn't I see this theme? Lots of different places of evil coming to usurp. And I don't know, you're never going to convince me that uploading myself into the machine to be downloaded at Christmas time is what I should be doing because my daughter loves me. It's just not going to happen. I am not going to be forever trapped in some electronic cloud somewhere for people like Kurzweil to pull out for his own amusement anytime he sees fit. I also found another story, and of course now as I'm yapping here, my entire browser just stopped working. Everything has gone into not responding modes. Hold on 1 second, because I'm going to thwart you, bastard. You know, I got to say, too, Microsoft has really been off the hook with the BS going on with these upgrades. And I mean, is this what it's going to be when they got these little nanobot doctors inside of you? They're going to do uninvited upgrades at any time and charge you a licensing fee to have their software running inside of you. They're going to tell you when it is time, when you need an update, and when you go in to schedule that update, they give you their own range of times when you think it might be convenient, but you can never turn it off. I found out back, a couple weeks ago, we had Verstein Henry on the first time, and Skype just randomly rebooted. In the middle of a show while it was connected to a phone call. Like, I've never seen anything like that. So I was all pissed off, told my husband, turn off all those damn automatic updates. He's like, they are turned off. I went out there this morning to log in because I got to get Kevin online here in about 15 minutes when I'm done with my show. And that same exact server is telling me, oh, we wanted to reboot. We were going to do it again without your knowledge. But guess what? We need 434 meg of space to be able to download all these updates, and you don't have enough room. And guys, I have one of those little mini computers that has just this tiny little bit of flash, but all I need is Skype on the machine. So why do I need any more hard drive space on that machine? I don't give a shit. I don't have anything external. It's just one little tiny box, like half the size of a tissue box, that's running the Skype. But they're telling me I need another 434 meg. And oh, by the way, you go into the settings to make sure that those updates are turned off, because 434 meg for an update that you already don't have room for. And it tells me that updates cannot be turned off. It also tells me, this is Windows 10, by the way. It also tells me that I can set a range of hours for when the best time is to update. Set that range of hours for when you're not online. So I did. From 8 a.m. till 12 a.m. midnight. Because that's when I have live shows going on. I don't want to be running around here having to open stuff up at some random moment to make sure it's ready for the next show. Just stay off my computer from 8 a.m. to 12 a.m. It comes back and tells me, I cannot do that, Dave. You are only allowed 12 hours to set is usable time. What? Freaking Microsoft is now telling me that I only have a 12-hour window to be able to use my computer until they take it over and fuck it up. So I got to tell you guys, looking at that, and I've been following Microsoft for 25 years like a hawk. They're going to put those little robot doctors inside of you. Look out, because this is not what you want. Swedish scientists have now also begun editing human DNA in healthy embryos. So at least before they were in sickly embryos, now we're talking about healthy embryos. This came out yesterday, I think, September 25th, 4 days ago. Scientists in Sweden are the first to ever edit human DNA in healthy embryos utilizing CRISPR. Ding, ding. Frederick Lanner is modifying genes to figure out what they do. So they're just doing this for pure sicko experimentalism. Eventually hoping to discover more about infertility. Ding, ding, ding. And that was something that we still haven't gotten to yet. But this whole eugenics thing. And I mean, it sounded like a conspiracy paranoid theory before. We got a big story. What is the difference between gene editing, CRISPR in humans, and eugenics? They'll be able to discover more about infertility, miscarriages, and embryonic stem cells. Whether creating genetically modified crops Or making animals disease resistant to gene editing has always faced harsh criticism. Yeah, and good old Georgie Church says now with CRISPR and Monsanto licensing this technology, we're now going to put all of those stupid arguments of people who are all afraid of this technology that hasn't been fully tested or baked like many generations down the line, and nobody's watching the store about the damage it's going to do to Earth 1.0. No. All you stupid people out there think too much. We've now put that argument to bed because we opened all the bottles up and said, screw you. And they did. Georgie Church gave us the middle finger in that story we read yesterday. One fear is how altering human DNA in embryos could recklessly create a fatal genetic disease. Of course, by accident, wink, that would exist for generations. But despite this, one researcher is attempting the most controversial type of gene editing on Earth. Developmental biologist Frederick Lanner is the first researcher to ever, on the books, modify the DNA of a healthy human embryo. I can guarantee you they're already doing that in China. There's no doubt in my mind that they are already doing that in China. But, you know, at least in Sweden, they publish their work. And he came out and said, look, hey, I got the go-ahead. It's all in the name of science. Lanner, who works at the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, is editing genes in human embryos to see how they regulate early embryonic development. And he is specifically targeting genes crucial to normal embryonic growth to learn more about infertility, miscarriages, stem cells, and how to treat debilitating conditions. He is using popular CRISPR-Cas9, ding, and this tool utilizes two molecules that focus on your individual genes to make ultra-precise changes to your DNA. Without CRISPR, we could not do this at all previously in human embryos. Guys, George Church and Jennifer Doudna have allowed us to be released untethered across the planet. CRISPR is the beginning of the end. CRISPR is just that cherry on top that they've been waiting for. And now they can splice and dice anything and then add a gene, send it out to everywhere. This technology is everywhere. And we have military brass warning that it's now a weapon of mass destruction. And nobody's watching the store. Lanner is also conducting basic research on how human gene editing could be done, since the ethical debate has prevented many studies on how elementary gene editing should work. Well, damn those ethical debates on any of this wondrous new technology. Ethics, schmethics, out a window. It's all about living forever, guys. A 2015 Chinese paper, ding, ding, I knew the Chinese were messing around with it, dealing with the first human gene editing experiments, despite not using healthy human embryos, sparked a firestorm of international debate, and global consensus has since banned the editing of human embryos that are intended to start a pregnancy. And we mentioned that just before. They cannot, according to international law, they cannot be carried to term. They have to be squished out. I don't know. It was like 10 or 14 days or something. But Lanner's work falls under basic research, which is allowed. And this kind of research could help establish the safeguards and limits that should be imposed on editing the human genome. Lanner calmed fears of his research leading to the dangerous mutations in humans, noting how the embryos would only be observed for the first 7 days and wouldn't be able to develop past 14 days. Well, phew, so there you go. Squish, pour a little alcohol in the dish, and it's all over. He says he has no intention of helping create a world of designer babies. $29.95, you can get blonde hair. Another $30, you can get blue eyes. These genetically modified children that many worry would constitute a society centered around biological superiority. Well, what a great segue for this next story that came out of the Washington Post. What is the difference between genetic engineering and eugenics? This is from February 22nd, 2016. And you know what I say? Damn good question. For a half a century, the ethics of human genetic engineering have been discussed in the abstract, and because the tools for editing DNA didn't exist, the question was more of a thought experiment than a real concern. Today, though, we got a problem, Clyde. The conversation has changed. There's been a frenzy of excitement. Yeah, like a feeding frenzy of lunatics around the possibilities of CRISPR-Cas9. This technology, which allows scientists to design proteins that unzip and replace chunks of DNA as they please, make it possible to edit genes cheaply and quickly. Well, thank goodness. We could do it en masse, not a problem. Investors have put hundreds of millions of dollars into this innovation, which seems to have limitless, endless possibilities, from making crops more resilient to disease to designing mosquitoes, good old Billy Gates investment, so they can't carry malaria, maybe even eliminating diseases among humans by altering the genes that we pass on. Guys, what is the insanity that you don't see this in the headlines very rarely in some of my science and genetic news, maybe, but you're not seeing this on the headlines, mainstream news? How come we don't have 100 radio shows talking about this on a daily basis? Guys, this is the end of biology 1.0. And I mean, is it even too late? They're going to start spreading this, these gene modifications, into this next generation of children. This next generation that takes only 18 years, and then they could start spitting out another generation, potentially with altered genes that have been passed on. Scientists are now confident that this technology can one day eliminate genetic disorders in humans. However, this research is still very young, and there are major ethical questions attached to editing human DNA that the emergence of CRISPR makes even more pressing. The field of genetics has always had an uncomfortable link to eugenics. The science of improving people through controlled breeding. And you know, we connected some links yesterday between Monsanto Bear through IG Farben, who was tied to Nazi concentration camps, who were involved in eugenics. Yes, those. Bill Gates, involved with gene drives and symbiotics and mosquitoes and preventing offspring from growing to term, Bill Gates, yes. Microsoft, Bill Gates, creating little DNA computers in your blood to tamp down on diseases, Bill Gates, whose father was a eugenicist, yes. Well, now we have CRISPR. CRISPR that can edit people and make them perfect if they wanted to. The science of improving people through controlled breeding. Centuries ago, people realized that desirable traits in farm animals could be passed down to offspring, blah, blah, blah. And the United States has even had versions of these involuntary sterilization policies implemented to protect the country's quote-unquote racial hygiene. And guys, let's take it a step further. We talked about this yesterday. So with all this longevity medicine that all these tech billionaires, universities, and government agencies, including the White House Precision Medicine, are investing in, they want to be able to cure disease and death. They want longevity. They want to be able to live for a really long time. We talked about that. I mean, it's all about Not about the food chain this time. It is about the cycle of life this time. And the cycle of life states that we get recycled. So we don't have a massive population problem where all the older people who don't die are spitting out kids for 500 years of a lifetime. Can't happen. Cannot happen. And because of that fact, guys, I think that this really is the end result. You know, of course, they're saying we're overpopulated now, and the only way to feed all these 7 billion people is to create genetically modified crops that'll be able to grow to abundance. And, oh, we're having all these climate changes going on, but we can genetically modify crops to grow in those conditions as well. But the end result of being able to make you live to 105, which isn't going to happen for you and me, but regardless, is to start messing around with how they turn off the reproduction switches permanently. Today, CRISPR has captured the fancies of those who emphasize the high-flying possibilities of human-led evolution, and that's what we are talking about, human-led evolution. Some look forward to designer babies suggesting that altering children to have higher intelligence is inevitable for human progress. Others argue that we should engineer humans so they have a reduced impact on the environment. Oh, God, what? Maybe so you don't produce flatulence? But, of course, these proposals are still wildly unrealistic. I don't think so. Especially when we find out that there's already messing around with healthy embryos in a Petri dish. Says, but how far are we willing to go? Ending truly debilitating diseases may be one thing, but what about conditions such as dwarfism? Current CRISPR research might lead to genetic treatments for autism, and given that the possibilities are truly endless, should we edit our traits that many people have come to accept and celebrate? Is there a moral, social, or physical advantage that allows diversity to flourish within the human gene pool? And in the end, where will we draw the line? And there we go. That was perfect. We're going to continue on this tomorrow. I got lots more. Stick around. Mr. Kevin Blatch is live up next. Everyone have an awesome Thursday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.
This is Ozzy Scaping.